Good morning. Welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you're all keeping very well. I've got a special guest with me this morning. I have my friend Alison Nixon. Good morning, Alison. How are you?
Good morning. Doing really great, thanks.
It's lovely to see you this morning. And as we go through the show, Alison will be interviewed around 11:30. I'm going to find out more about her background, where she's come from, her journey, and how her business relates to health and well-being. So on today's show, we're going to talk about antioxidants and free radicals. And I'm going to tell you about a very potent antioxidant that you've probably never heard of. And actually, this antioxidant is 6,000 times more effective than vitamin C. We're also going to talk about drinking and driving, specifically drinking and the party season, but ways to avoid being over the drink drive limit. Now, obviously, anyone that's logical and sensible will avoid drinking altogether, or drinking and driving. But there is a chance that you could be over the following morning. So I'm going to go through the reasons why that might happen, how to avoid it, and some tips to keep you safe when you're out partying during the party season. Then, as I mentioned, we're going to interview Alison around 11:30-ish, and we're going to find out more about what she does, and then we're going to wrap the show up. So a bit of housekeeping before we start. The purpose of the show, the Health Matters Radio Show, is to help to educate, to inform you, to enlighten you as to ways that you can improve your own health, giving you simple tips and advice. Each week we have a special guest, and we interview the special guest and find out more about what they do. And we discuss a number of different topics. But all the content that we discuss is provided for general information only and is often based on my knowledge, my experience, and frequently my opinion on things. So that content shouldn't be treated as a substitute for medical advice. And if you're in any doubt, if you're not sure, then please do contact your own doctor or your healthcare professional. And as always, if you have any concerns about your own health, then please do contact your local GP. Okay, so this morning we're going to talk about antioxidants. And if you have an interest in health, either professionally or your own health, you would have probably heard about the term antioxidants, because it's quite a buzzword at the moment. But what are antioxidants? So antioxidants are compounds that are found in food that stop or delay damage to cells. They help ward off cell damage, they clean up and remove the waste products from our cells, and these waste products are called free radicals. And it's these free radicals that can do a tremendous amount of harm to the body. So free radicals, these are compounds that are highly reactive, and they can damage cells. So they can damage things like DNA, and researchers suggested that free radicals are often implicated in the cell damage that can result to the development of cancer. So these free radicals are a natural byproduct of metabolism, but they are damaging to the body, and they can contribute to things like aging and what have you. And the three biggest factors that contribute to free radical damage in your body is firstly your lifestyle, secondly your diet, and thirdly, your environment. So lifestyle, things like how well you sleep and what your stress levels are. Diet is obviously what you eat and what you drink. And environment is the environment you live in and the environmental pollution that can influence that. So whilst free radicals are a form or they are a process of normal metabolism, sometimes we can control them. So, for example, if we don't smoke, if we don't overeat, if we avoid pollution, if we exercise, that will have an impact on the amount of free radicals that we have in our body. But we can't control them completely. And our body does have inbuilt defences to reduce the impacts of free radicals, but we can supplement and we can encourage our body to create more of its own antioxidants to help reduce this free radical damage. So onto this secret antioxidant that I've known about for a while now, but I was surprised that other people didn't know about. And this compound, this antioxidant, is called astaxanthin. So that's AstaxanThin. So astaxanthin. And astaxanthin is a very powerful natural carotenoid. Now, a carotenoid pigment is the thing that makes plants and animals, or it gives them their colour. So these carotenoid pigments play an important role in the health of a plant or the health of an animal. And then when we eat these carotenoids, these pigments, then we get the health benefits too. But astaxanthin has been called the king of the carotenoids. It's one of the most powerful antioxidants found in nature. And as I say, interestingly, it's more powerful than vitamin C, in some cases up to 6,000 times more powerful. And it's also more powerful than a very well-known antioxidant called beta-carotene. How does astaxanthin work? Well, what happens is we have these antioxidants, so we have these free radicals in our body, and our body is reliant on these antioxidants to deliver this balance that we need and the healing power that we need to repair our damaged cells. So antioxidants fight the process of oxidation. So oxidation then leads to cellular breakdown over time, which can then lead to things like different illnesses and diseases. So if you imagine oxidation as putting an iron bar in water or seawater for a week, obviously it will go rusty. That's a similar process of oxidation. It's the breakdown of the structure. So antioxidants sacrifice their structure to repair free radical development, and they slow and potentially heal the process of oxidation, and they allow the cell to become stabilized. An unstable cell can become a damaged cell. Healthy cellular function equates to better overall health and is a prerequisite for reaching optimal health and physical peak performance. Astaxanthin is a unique antioxidant, and it is bioavailable throughout the body. The skin, the muscles, the ligaments, tendons, eyes, the cardiovascular system, your nervous system, and internal organs are all receptive to astaxanthin. The soft tissues, so if you exercise a lot, your soft tissues are able to perform better, and actually it helps recovery as well. So some of the benefits of astaxanthin. Astaxanthin comes from the pink pigment in algae, and it's the pigment that gives wild salmon its red colour. It's also the pigment that makes pink flamingos pink, because I don't know if you know, but when flamingos are born, they're actually white, they're not pink, and they become pink because of their diet. So astaxanthin has a unique molecular structure, this red pigment that creates a very powerful antioxidant. And so as compared to vitamins A, vitamins C, vitamins E, they are nowhere near as powerful as an antioxidant than astaxanthin. Even vitamin E, it's up to 800 times more powerful than vitamin E as an antioxidant. So if you do exercise a lot, it's great for recovery. It's great for repair as well. It's also good for those of you that don't exercise so much. Excuse me. It's also good for eye health. It can help reduce damage to the eye as we get older, and also can help reduce the risk of cataracts. Astaxanthin is good for your skin, so it can help to improve skin moisture levels. It can help to improve elasticity, and it can also reduce wrinkles as well. It's good for your joints. So astaxanthin has natural anti-inflammatory properties, but unlike pharmaceutical anti-inflammatories, there is no risk of things like addiction or heartburn or stomach ulcers. And also fatigue. Sockeye salmon has some of the highest levels of astaxanthin found in nature, and that's what gives it its pink colour. And obviously, they consider that astaxanthin is one of the reasons why salmon are so agile and have so much strength, particularly when they go back to spawn. So some other benefits of astaxanthin: it helps to support the immune function, it can help to support heart health, If you're diabetic, it can help to manage blood sugars. It also protects your cells and your nervous system from oxidative damage. It supports brain health, and this is quite an interesting one, and please do your own research on this, but there has been some research papers that suggest that astaxanthin can be beneficial for those with Parkinson's and also with dementia and Alzheimer's, because it is one of the few antioxidants that can go across the blood-brain barrier. So where do you find astaxanthin from? Ideally, you would source it from your diet. So red crustaceans and seafood are high in astaxanthin. So things like lobster and shrimps and crab and crawfish and red trout, they're all high in astaxanthin. But also sockeye salmon. Sockeye salmon is one of the best sources of astaxanthin, but you would have to eat quite a lot of it to get a beneficial dose, and that can be where supplementation could come into play. So if you're looking for an astaxanthin supplement, you do need to be careful, because as it's becoming more popular, certain less scrupulous companies are putting artificial or synthesized astaxanthin out on the market, and I would suggest avoiding those. But look for natural, pure varieties, the ones that are created from marine algae. And because astaxanthin is fat-soluble, you need to make sure that you eat food with it, particularly fats, to allow absorption. If you take astaxanthin supplements on an empty stomach, you will not get much benefit to it. And how much should you take? Well, most supplements are around 8 to 12 milligrams a day, and that is the recommended amount. And to get 8 to 12 milligrams of astaxanthin through your diet, you'd have to eat quite a lot of fish. So it's always good to get things from your diet and get the natural supplementation that you need from the food that you eat. But if you can't, then obviously supplementation is the way to go. So do research astaxanthin, A-S-T-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N. It's a massively powerful antioxidant. It can help to repair cell damage. It can help your skin. It can help your eyesight. It can help your joints. It can also help your immune system. It can help to reduce fatigue. It can help your heart health, and it can help your brain health. So definitely worth looking into. If you would like any more information, you are more than welcome to contact me via my website. If you go to www.i-nutrition.co.uk, you can drop me an email there, and we can chat from there. And don't forget as well that the show is going out live, and we're also on Twitter and Facebook. So if you go to Twitter and you search Health Radio Show, you will find the show's Twitter feed. Please drop me a line, say hello, have a shout out, ask a question. I'll happily read your tweet out on air. And also, if you go to Facebook, you can follow the show's Facebook page. And if you search Health Radio Show, you can find the show on Facebook. Do follow the show pages. You'll be kept up to date as to what's coming up as regards the next shows. And also, I'll give you lots of health and wellness tips as we go along. So before we go into our main subject, which is discussing the party season, alcohol, and how to avoid the danger of drinking and driving, or certainly being over the drink drive limit, we're going to go into our first song. So I searched my library and I thought this one was quite appropriate. I hope you like it.
I wanna be drunk when I wake up, on the right side of the wrong bed, and never an excuse I made up. Tell you the truth, that it was, didn't kill me, it never made me stronger at all. Love will scar your makeup, and lipstick's to me, so now I maybe lean back there. I'm sat here, wishing I was sober. Hold your love, I used to. But a house gets cold when you cut the heating. Without you to hold, I'll be freezing. Can't rely on my heart to beating, cause you take parts of it every evening. Take words out of my mouth just from breathing. Replace with phrases like when you're leaving me. Should I? Maybe I'll get
drunk again. I'll be drunk again. I'll be drunk again to feel a little love. I wanna hold your heart in both hands. Now watch it fizzle at the bottom of a coke can. And I got no plans for the weekend. So should we speak then? Keep it between friends. Though I know you'll never love me like you used to. There may be other people like us who see the flicker of the clipper when they light up. Flames just create us. Burns don't heal like before. You don't hold me anymore. On cold days, cold plays out like the band's name. I know I can't heal things with a handshake. You know I can't change as I began saying. You cut me wide open like landscape. Open bottles of beer but never champagne. To applaud you with the sound that my hands make. Should I, maybe I'll get drunk again. I'll be drunk again. I'll be drunk again to feel a little
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. And my special guest today is Alison Nixon. Hi, Alison.
Hiya.
It's good to see you today. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be interviewing Alison and finding out more about what she does and her position in the health and wellbeing industry and how she might be able to help you too. So the party season is well and truly underway. Lots of Christmas parties. Copious amounts of food eaten and often copious amounts of alcohol drunken as well. And it is that time of year, so why not? However, there is an issue with drinking and driving, specifically driving the day after the night before. Okay, so I'm not talking about going out to a party, having a drink, getting drunk, jumping in your car, and driving home, because in my opinion you'd have to be stupid to do that, because it's socially irresponsible, it's socially unacceptable now, the penalties are higher and the consequences potentially are quite huge. So anyone that drinks and drives is crazy. However, lots of people will drive the morning after going out the night before and potentially still be over the drink drive limit and not realize it. So these are people that have consciously not drunk and drive the night before. You know, they've either slept over or they've got a cab home or a bus home or a train home. They've been very socially responsible, very conscientious, and they've avoided driving at the same time as drinking. But the morning after can be a problem for some people. And this is one of the reasons that the police are out early in the mornings, not just in the evenings to catch people that are irresponsibly drinking and driving, but to catch people that perhaps have got a cab home and are out the following morning on their normal business and are still over the legal drink drive limit. So you need to be really careful of this. I did put a post on my Twitter feed, on the iNutrition Twitter feed, and also on the radio station's, the radio show's Twitter feed as well, to give you a rough idea of how long popular drinks take to get out of your system. It's really important that you understand this. So on average, it takes about 1 hour for the average person to break down one unit of alcohol. So if you think about that for a moment, an average strength bottle of wine has got anything between 9 and 10 units of alcohol. So if you drink a bottle of wine over, say, an hour and a half, then it will take your body up to 9, 10, perhaps 11 hours to get that alcohol out of your system, which is quite scary. People don't realize it. So you may wake up in the morning, you may feel okay, but it doesn't mean that your blood alcohol levels are of a safe level. There's lots of things that can influence this. So things like your weight, your sex, whether you're male or female. Men break down alcohol quicker than women. Your age, how good your metabolism is, how much food you've eaten as well. The type of alcohol that you've drunk and the strength of the alcohol comes into play. If you're taking medication, certain medications can slow down the metabolism of alcohol. And also, if you have issues with your liver, then that can contribute to alcohol being slower to break down. So how much can you drink and drive? Well, in my personal opinion, there isn't a safe limit. If you're driving, it's best not to drink alcohol at all. Okay, it's the police are out, they are on patrol, and the point there is that even if you only have one drink and you're technically under the drink drive limit, if the police feel that your driving has been impaired by that, you can still be charged even though you're under the drink drive limit. So it really is not worth the risk. And the thing is as well, is that a lot of this guidance is for the average person. And, you know, in my opinion, there isn't the average person. We all metabolise alcohol differently. And there's lots of factors that would determine how quickly or how slowly that alcohol is broken down in our body. Some, you know, one person might be okay after one drink, other people might not. So there is so many variables, and there's such a high risk now of being over the limit. My advice is, if you're out partying, then find another way to get home or sleep over. But coming back to the subject of the morning after, if you have a cup of coffee, it doesn't make a difference. Coffee does not speed up the metabolism of alcohol. It might make you feel more alert, but it won't reduce the amount of alcohol in your bloodstream. So the legal limit at the moment is 35 micrograms per 100 millilitres of breath, 80 milligrams of alcohol in 100 millilitres of blood, or 107 milligrams of alcohol in 100 millilitres of urine. Now, as a rough indication, and this is very rough, this equates to about 4 units of alcohol for men, and about 3 for women. So once you're at 4 units, you stand a very, very high chance of being over the limit, and 3 for women. So if you actually look at how many units are in alcohol, a single measure of spirits is 1 unit, a strong lager is 3 units, and a standard lager is 2 units. A small glass of white wine is about 1.5 units. So you can see here how little you'd need to drink before actually being over the limit. But the point there is, if you drink a lot and you are conscientious and you are responsible and you do get a cab home, if you've drunk a lot the night before, it can take a long time for that alcohol to get out of your system. So I go back to the example of a bottle of wine. If you drank a bottle of wine, if you drank 2 bottles of wine the night before, potentially it can take a day for that alcohol to be out of your system. If you have 5 pints of strong lager, that could take anything up to 18 hours. So you do need to be aware that, you know, whilst you might feel okay after a good night's sleep, you wake up, you know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock the following morning, if you jump in your car, you could still be over the legal drink drive limit. So do be very careful. And some of the penalties, bring a dose of reality to the conversation, some of the penalties are quite serious. You know, if you're caught driving a vehicle whilst above the legal limit, even if it is the morning after, you can face up to six months in prison, an unlimited fine, and a guaranteed ban for at least a year. But interestingly, if you're unfit to drive but sleeping in the back of your car, or you're in the passenger seat, not just the driver's seat, you can be charged with being drunk in charge of a vehicle. And you can face 3 months imprisonment for that and an up to £2,500 fine. So really, you know, if you are going out partying over this sort of season, this festive season, then do you know what? Just stay away from the car, because it's just not worth the risk these days. And if you have an accident, then the consequences don't bear thinking about. In terms of long-term alcohol consumption, I will cover this because, you know, people do go out over the party season. They do enjoy themselves. And that's great because, you know, that's what the festive season is all about. But alcohol can be very addictive, and there is a very serious side to alcohol addiction. And it can cause some serious health issues, things like skin problems. It can cause bloating. It can cause weight gain. It can create a condition of dehydration. And then we come on to some more serious things like liver disease. It can be a big contributor. Excessive alcohol can be a big contributor to bowel cancer, to breast cancer, to mouth cancer. It's a contributor to type 2 diabetes, to heart disease, to infertility. It can create mental health issues. It can create conditions of depression and obviously addiction as well. So moderation when drinking alcohol at any time of the year is very important. I'm just going to cover a few myths that people believe about alcohol. The first one I've already mentioned about coffee. If you drink a strong coffee, it might wake you up because that's obviously the function of the caffeine in coffee. But coffee does not reduce the amount of alcohol in your system. The only thing that reduces the amount of alcohol in your system is time. And as I said, for the average person, and I do stress, this is just the average person, there's a lot of variables that can surround that, but one unit of alcohol per hour is about the going rate of metabolism for alcohol. So like I say, if you drink 20, 30, if you have a really good night and you drink 40 units of alcohol, you'd be looking at potentially a day and a half before that alcohol is out of your system. Here's some more myths. You can have one alcoholic drink an hour and still drive home. This is actually quite a well-known myth. The average rate of alcohol metabolism is about 100 milligrams of alcohol per kilogram of body weight per hour. So for a typical 160-pound man, that would translate into 7 grams of alcohol in an hour. And a standard serving, a half pint or a pint bottle of beer, can be up to 14 grams of alcohol. So that would actually take 2 hours to metabolize it. So, again, my suggestion, and I will carry on stressing this, is if you are out enjoying yourself over the party season, then leave the car at home. But do factor in how much you have drunk while you're out, and do factor in the time it takes for that alcohol to get out of your system. Another myth, you can sober up quickly if you have to. So things like, as I mentioned, a cup of coffee or a cold shower, doesn't work. Nothing speeds up the process. It's the only thing that gets alcohol out of your system is your body's natural ability to metabolize it and deal with it over time. And actually, caffeine can do more damage than good because caffeine is a stimulant. And because of that, it's going to make you feel more awake and it's going to give you a false sense of alertness. But you will still, your ability will still be impaired. So not good. Another myth, you can trick a breathalyzer. I know people that have said, oh yeah, if you suck on a penny or if you have some mints or if you chew gum or if you drink lots of water, then the breathalyzer will give a lower reading than normal. And actually, all those are not true. There isn't anything but time that can affect the amount of alcohol in your bloodstream. So, yes, if you think you're going to fool a breathalyzer test, then I'm afraid that is a myth, so don't take the risk. So, some tips when you're out and about in the party season. The first, and I will stress it one more time, is do not drink and drive. Don't even have one. It's just not worth the risk. And as I've already mentioned, if something happens or you get pulled over, and even if you're under the drink drive limit, but the police feel that your driving has been impaired by alcohol, you can still be charged. Don't think that you can drive to a party, get drunk, and then sleep in your car, because if the police catch you, you can be charged with being drunk in charge, even though you're not driving. So again, don't do it. It's not worth the risk. But generally speaking, here's some tips to help you out when you're out partying over the Christmas period. Don't go to a party on an empty stomach. Firstly, if you go to a party on an empty stomach, the first thing you'll do when you get there is start eating, and you can start overeating. But if you would have got food in your stomach, that will obviously help stabilize the alcohol that you're drinking. Know your limits. So know actually how much you want to drink. Don't drink until you fall over. set a limit, set an absolute maximum that you are prepared to drink, and be responsible and don't exceed it. Pace yourself. So if you pace yourself and you don't drink more than one alcoholic drink per hour, it's not just, you know, a good practice, it's also very good for your body as well. And it doesn't overload your liver, because alcohol is metabolized in the liver. Drink a large glass of water between each alcoholic drink. So an ideal ratio is 1:1. So one glass of alcoholic drink and one glass of water will keep you hydrated and will help you not to drink too much alcohol as well. Drink a large glass of water before you go to bed. So here's the scenario. You've gone out, you partied, you've had a lot to drink, you've got a cab home, you bounce into bed, drink a big glass of water, because that will help offset dehydration. And one of the side effects of dehydration is hangover. So it can help to reduce hangover. Don't drink and drive at all. There is no safe limit. You know, the way we metabolize alcohol is very much up to the individual. So, you know, whilst we've got guidelines, each person will be different depending on their age, their sex, their metabolism, their liver function, all that. It isn't worth the risk. Just don't do it. Find another way to get home apart from driving. If you're going out as a group, appoint a designated driver who won't drink any alcohol at all, and they promise and they will stick to that. And the designated driver obviously can get you home and your friends home after the party. And if you can't get a designated driver, then find other ways to get home. So cab, public transport and what have you, or perhaps stay over at the venue that you're drinking at. But do bear in mind, obviously, and I will stress this again, the time it takes for alcohol to get out of your system. If you have drunk a lot, then my opinion is it's best to stay away from the car for at least a day afterwards. It sounds crazy, but just because you feel okay to drive doesn't mean that your blood alcohol level is under the legal limit. It really isn't worth the risk. And in fact, if you go to the station's Twitter feed at Health Radio Show, I have put an infogram on there. I put a picture on there that shows the typical some typical common drinks. So large glasses of wine, 4% alcohol pint, 5% bottle of lager, Alco Pops, single spirits and doubles. And the amount of drinks, so say for example you had 5 4% pints of lager, as a rough rule of thumb, that could take 12 and a half hours to get out of your system. So, as I say, the only thing that will deal with alcohol in your blood is time. So hopefully you found that interesting. If you want more information, you can go to the Drink Aware website, which is www.drinkaware.co.uk. There's lots of useful information on that website. If you want to drop me a line, you can find me either at my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, or you can contact me on social media. On Facebook, I am iNutritionUK, and on Twitter, I am iNutritionUK. You can find me there. But it'd be good to hear from you, and if you want any tips or advice, then I look forward to hearing from you.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Okay, so before we go on to our guest interview this morning with Alison Nixon, got time for a quick song, and it's a classic from, I can't believe it's about 15 years ago now, how time flies, but it's Valerie by the Zootons.
Since I've come on home,
Was Valerie by the Zootons. What happened to them? Okay, you're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. And my special guest this morning is Alison Nixon. Morning, Alison.
Hi, good morning.
Don't forget that you can contact the show via the Twitter page, which is at Health Radio Show. Tweet in, say hi, ask a question, ask for a shout out, and I'll happily read out your tweets on air. And you can also find the show on Facebook. If you search Health Radio Show, there's lots of useful information on Facebook too. Right, just had a couple of tweets come through that I am going to read out. If you bear with me, I just need to scroll through and find it. Okay, I've had a tweet from... So many tweets to go through. Right, I might have to come back to that. It was on my screen a moment ago, and it just disappeared. So we will read that out before the end of the show. I will scroll through. Now, here we go, from Anya Jeffries. So Anya is a good friend of a couple of my guests, actually, that have been on recently, a good friend of Kizzy, and also of Alison here, too. So Anya's asked for a shout-out. I says, could you please give at Women Work Events a shout out on the 20th of April at the Salomon's Estates in Tunbridge Wells? They're having an event, a women work event. So if you go to womenworkevents.co.com, and the events are they aim to lead the way to a brighter future for women from all communities, and themes include entrepreneurship, health and well-being, women in the workplace, and doing things that you love. Okay, so that's a quick shout out for Anya. So if you want to find Anya on Twitter, her Twitter name is at Jeffries Anya, H-A-N-I-A. Or if you go to the show Twitter feed, you can see Anya's tweet there and you can make contact with her. So it's at Women Work Events on Twitter, and www.womenworkevent.com. So hopefully you'll make contact with her if that's of interest to you. So on to our interview with our special guest this morning, Alison. And as you'll realise, when Alison starts talking, she's not from around these parts. And I'm sure she'll explain her background, where she's from, and how she came to be in the UK. Welcome to the show, Alison.
Thank you. It's really exciting to be here.
It's really good to have you on. We had a good chat before the show started. I'm fascinated about your background and also about your journey into the industry of health and well-being. So firstly, tell me about your journey. What led you to put on the weight that you did? Because I know you mentioned that before the show, you wasn't huge overweight, but you'd put on weight to a degree that you weren't comfortable. And what was the point that you decided to make a change in your diet, in your lifestyle?
Sure. Well, I guess it was about 4 years ago now. I just kind of hit complete rock bottom. I was in a job that I was very unhappy in and under a lot of stress. So the stress led to a lot of emotional eating, eating a lot of processed food, and anything that would get me through today and make me a little bit happy.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's quite common, isn't it?
It is, actually.
Comfort eating.
A lot of comfort eating and a lot of sugar. And, you know, I would go, you know, digestive, like chocolate digestive biscuits. I could easily eat a packet of those.
I know a few people that could do the same.
Yeah. So, you know, all that caught up on me, you know, your body can only handle so much sugar, so much stress, and so much processed foods. And it's just kind of, you know, I just hit complete rock bottom and just said, you know, something has to change. So I just kind of woke up and did a complete career change, and that kind of led me on the journey of getting myself better. So I just focus on my own health and well-being, learned a lot about food and actually how food can impact your body physically and mentally. So that's kind of how it all began, really.
There's a very famous saying, I can't remember who said it, it was one of these Greek philosophers, that I think food can be the greatest form of medicine and the slowest form of poison.
Yeah.
And, yeah, touching on what you said about the processed foods and the sugars and the biscuits, all of those foods are so readily available to us. A couple of weeks ago, I did discuss, one of the topics that we discussed was hidden sugars. And actually, sugar is in so many foods in the supermarket today. You walk down the aisles and it's, you know, it's just sugar here and sugar there, and it's just everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's so bad for the body. Yeah. But obviously, you got to a point where you decided to make a change. You came to that crossroads.
Yeah.
In your life. So what route did you take to start being healthier, to lose some weight, to start looking after yourself?
Yeah, I think, well, the first thing was awareness. So I was actually recognizing, because I think I was, you know, for a long time, I was just kind of pushing through and just getting through day by day. And it was just that, like, kind of that meltdown and that awareness that came is like, actually, you know what? I'm only young. I don't want to continue living like this. I have to make a change. So so it was really at that point in my life. And then so I started to learn about food a little bit more and realize, okay, having a packet of biscuits is not going to help me and my well-being. So I just kind of just did a little bit more research. And I guess I always kind of knew, you know, food matters, exercise matters.
Yep.
And, you know, I was, guess, you know, prior to that, it was about five or six years before that, I actually healed myself. I had an ulcer in my stomach and actually healed it with a potato.
Wow.
Yeah, juicing a potato for about 2 weeks. And that completely healed my ulcer. So I kind of always had the, you know, knew that food mattered. But, you know, when you're under so much stress and you just don't care, it just kind of get you through. So, you know, at that point, you know, when I decided to make that decision to move forward to get myself better, I just started to eating more whole foods, you know, getting the recipe books out again and kind of going back to the way that my grandmother cooked for her family. So, you know, got rid of the processed packaged food, things in a microwave, like, you know, those quick, you know, it's, like you said, it's so readily available to all of us. Yeah. And I fell into that trap as well. So I kind of just made a decision then and there that I was going to get myself better. And that's the road I kind of took. So it's, you know, led me on the path of focusing on nutrition. So once I got the nutrition, understood that, and started feeling good about my body, and again, just started to lose weight naturally. It wasn't, it just came off. You eat real food and your body knows how to digest it. It knows how to process it. And it just, you kind of just work. Your body just works, you know, it knows what it is. So it's not foreign substances, right?
The human body is a machine.
Yeah.
And it's like any machine. If you know how to make it work properly and give it the right fuel and maintain it properly, it runs better.
Yeah.
People don't realize how bad their health is until they start to feel better. And lots of people put it down to just getting older, aches and pains and, you know, insomnia and just these illnesses that come along, and we need to go, oh, it's because I'm getting older. And in most cases, it's almost completely avoidable. And a lot of it is down to what we eat. And as you say, when you look at your grandparents' diet compared to, or the foods that were available back then compared to the foods that we have now.
Yeah.
You know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, people used to die of diseases that they caught.
Yes.
Now, we don't really die of diseases that we caught. We die of diseases that are self-inflicted.
That's right.
And that's all become because of the foods that we eat. You know, as you say, highly processed, lots of sugar,
yeah.
very low in nutrients, not good for you. Okay, so you've gone on your journey and you're healthier now than you used to be and you're...
Yeah, totally. I think now, you know, I'm getting older and I never felt as good as I do now.
It's a great feeling, isn't it?
It is amazing. And I think, you know, for myself and for others that I work with and my friends and family, I just want for them is that, you know, as we age, we can still feel amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I'm 80 years old, I want to be running around, being able to pick things off the floor and to feel amazing in my body. Like, yeah. I don't want, you know, to fall into, you know, culturally we think as we get old, yeah. you know, things to start to kind of fade away on us and not work as good. But yeah. actually, I think we have the power now to prefer prevention and to take control of our lives and, you know, how we, you know, treat ourselves. Like our body, like, you know, I know it might sound a little bit cheesy, but our body's a temple, but, you know, this is the only places we have to live.
I love that saying.
Right? I do too.
That's a really good saying.
I love it too. But it's like, you know, more self-care and just loving ourselves more. I think we kind of, you know, forget about that.
And one of the things you did touch on there, which I agree with 100%, is looking after your health and not being worried too much about your weight, which is easy to say if you're not overweight. Mm-hmm. But actually, for people that need to lose weight, you can lose weight quickly on fad dieting. On yo-yo dieting, and you can do a lot of damage to your health, not just in the long term, but in the short term too. Yeah. And my view has always been, and my clients will agree with this, is if you look after someone's health and you get and you find ways to improve their health, then the weight thing kind of takes care of itself.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're functioning properly, you've got a good lifestyle, you're eating the right things, the weight tends to come off. Rather than doing it the other way around, focusing just on losing weight and doing damage to your health. So. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. So sure. You've gone on your journey. What was it that made you decide to then use that knowledge and experience that you gained on your personal journey to help other people?
Well, I think at the core of it, I'm always kind of always want to help other people and, you know, kind of going through what I went through and talking to a lot of people. A lot of people, you know, are burnt out, are totally exhausted during the day and, you know, we're on that same path that I was on. Mm. So, you know, if I can do it, anyone can do it, you know, and it's just, and I did it by myself. So I guess when I went in to become a health coach, I just said, well, you know, if you have someone there to support you and to guide you and help educate you and, you know, to help develop those daily healthy habits, then it just makes it a lot easier, a lot more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I guess, you know, that's how I, you know, I just, you know, decided to help other people. You know, I just wanted to have, I don't want to see people suffer. And there's a lot of people walking around like zombies because they're just tired of life. And, you know, it's just like that we're given this gift of life. So we need to appreciate it. And if I can be someone's teammate and help them, you know, become the best version of themselves, then I'm, you know, that's part of my mission, I believe. So
fantastic. Yeah. And it is incredibly rewarding. When you help to change someone's life. And often it's not just that person, it's the people around them as well. So if it's a wife and mother, it will affect the husband and children, or if it's a husband and father, it will be the children and the wife, or, you know, it's not just the person that you're dealing with in front of you, it's the people that, you know, they mean a lot to as well.
Yeah.
And it is incredibly rewarding and also very empowering as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And it is quite scary how much ignorance there is out there when it comes to food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the food companies are very good at keeping people in the dark. And I see it, as you said there, I see it as a bit of a mission to help educate people as to how to make their machine work better. Simple as that, really.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like you said, in the food industry, there's a lot of, you know, mixed messages out there. People are confused because one day in the paper they're saying you can eat this and next day they're saying you can't eat that. So a lot of people just say, well, you know what? I'm confused. So I'll just continue doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's not helping. So
Yeah, the media does have a responsibility in that, for sure. Yeah. So in what specific ways do you actually help people? Tell me about your business and, you know, what you can do for people.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure. So I do one-to-one health coaching sessions. And I also do personal training programs for people. Mm-hmm. And again, I want, when I do the personal training programs, they're very specific for what my clients are looking for. And also, but to get people back into making exercise a part of their life, making healthy eating again a part of life, and with those lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. And, just do educating and inspire people about, mind, body, spirit, but the whole person. So it's a very holistic approach that I work with.
Excellent. So of the clients that you've had, obviously confidentiality dictates that we can't mention names as such, but what successes have you had with the clients that you've been dealing with?
Yeah, so it's a lot of successes. I help a lot of people with weight loss, mm-hmm. But a lot of times, again, it's never about the weight. It's about the lifestyle, and again,
absolutely,
becoming healthy again. Initially, they come to me, it's like, oh, they want to lose weight, but there's a lot more that deals with that. So it's a lot about helping with those lifestyle changes that helping people make those part of their daily lives, and help people quit smoking, career changes, even.
Okay.
They'll come for me about health things, and then actually they'll feel like they're unhappy actually is in their jobs.
Yeah.
So it's a very kind of if you think about the wheel of life, so it's it's food, it's exercise, it's life, it's family, and things like that. So it's
it's a very holistic service.
Definitely a very holistic service.
Fantastic.
For sure.
So what are your plans for 2018? How does next year look to you? Where do you plan to go?
Well, in 2018, I'm really excited. So I'm going to be doing more speaking engagements, again, around the educating and inspiring people to become the healthiest versions of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the process of doing my GP referral. So I'm going to, in 2018, my hope is to work with GPs to help with people with, who are diabetic, maybe who have some injuries, like whether it's a back injury or things like that, so we can work hand in hand, because my hope for the future is that all of us health practitioners, we can work alongside GPs.
Absolutely.
And,
I agree.
We can work together as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because we are the specialists in what we do, and GPs do a fantastic job, but they are general practitioners, and they don't go deep into the subjects that we go into.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It'd be great to work with them.
For sure. So that's my hope.
Okay, so who would be for people that are listening to the show, who would be your ideal type of client?
So my ideal type of client, I guess, is... I work with a lot of people who have very intensive, high-stress jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be working long hours at the office, and, health and fitness and things kind of are to the wayside. So, those people that are really struggling, maybe, struggle to have energy during the day, to get out of bed, and just really need, accountability and a coach to help them, guide them to become the best version of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So why should people come to you? What is it about what you do that should encourage people to talk to you first?
Well, I think I have a lot of compassion. I've been through a lot. Personal experience.
Mm.
In my...
Counts for a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, completely. Mm. So I get it. I get it when you're you're having like 5 cups of coffee just to get you through that day.
And sometimes just through the morning.
Or even the morning. Yeah, exactly. So I kind of been there, done that. And I know how to make those changes and how to make them stick. So this is a lifelong thing. This is not like you say a fad diet or a 2-month thing. This is for life. So I if you want to make those healthy lifestyle changes and you're looking for that support and guidance, then come to me and
Fantastic.
I can help you out.
Excellent. So in the first instance, if someone's listening and they want to talk to you,
mm-hmm.
How can they make contact with you?
Yeah, sure. So I have a website. It's my name. So it's Alison Nixon. That's Alison Nixon, Nixon.com.
Uh-huh.
And I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the social media
mm-hmm.
platforms. So you can find me there as well. So it's, so Alison Nixon is the, you can just, if you just search that, you should be able to find me.
Super. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today, Alison. It's been really interesting to find out more about what you do. I think you have some very exciting plans for next year, and I do wish you every success.
Thank you.
And I've no doubt that we will continue to keep in touch. But thank you for coming on. Hope you've enjoyed it.
Yes.
And for those of you out there, just to reiterate, Alison's website is www.alisonnixon.com.
Right.
There you go. Excellent. So we need to wrap the show up. So just some quick points before we go. I'd like to thank you for listening this morning. Just a quick reminder of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. The Facebook and Twitter feeds for the show are Health Radio Show. You can listen to the show again if you go to my website and you click on the media page. You can listen again to this show. You can download it and you can listen to previous shows too. If you want to tweet in between shows, I'll happily give you a shout out on air. And if you'd like to say hello, then please do so. And last but not least, I'm looking for guest slots into January 2018. If you're interested in coming on, if you've got a story to tell about your health and your weight and your well-being, or you work in the health and wellness industry and you'd like to come on and talk to people about what you do, then please contact me through my website and we can have a chat from there. So once again, I'd like to thank Alison for coming on air this morning to be being my special guest. I hope you found the show interesting. We've covered antioxidants, free radicals and astaxanthin, and also given you some advice about alcohol and the party season. So until next time, I'd like to thank you for listening, and I will see you all soon. Have a great day.
The heart is a blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful